Buccaneers fans, Ira Kaufman is back. Day 6 of training camp is in the books. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We're here at Hooters, 1 mile south of Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport, Richie. We've got a lot to talk about today, Ira, a lot. Most of it's good, some of it's not so good, and we're going to dial that up.
Some of it's concerning, yeah.
A little bit, for sure. The best thing I can tell everybody right now is that Bill Curry Ford, these incredible 0% financing offers, no payments for 90 days, they're about to run out. They're not going to last all summer long. So you need to get to BillCurryFord.com. You'll see it right there. 0% APR, zero down, zero payments for 90 days, and complimentary maintenance on new Ford vehicles. It's stunning. And they've got great trade-in allowances, way over Kelley Blue Book. There's offers on F-150s and used vehicles as well, special financing. And, of course, they've got certified used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, family-owned since 1960. Their mobile service is unbelievable, Ira. They've got the vans all over. They come to your home, and if they can't do the basic repair there or the recall, whatever it is, they're going to take your vehicle back to Bill Curry Ford at no charge. No extra charge for the mobile service and the transportation. Unreal. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. And we'll talk later, Ira, about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration.
I just used them. I just had them over.
Let's talk about it now. What the hell were they doing at your house, Ira?
Well, I looked at my kitchen ceiling by the cabinet, and I saw some discoloration. I got a little nervous. I knew about Florida's Elite Restoration. How could we not know about it? And I called immediately. Within a couple hours, Josh Martin sent somebody out. Turned out to be his son. The guy was sharp. He had all his technology with him. And he checked the moisture on the ceiling and said it's bone dry. Well, that relieved me. Went up on the roof. Thought it might be a roof problem. He said something about my vent. The stack vent is the...
All right, Ira.
Anyway.
Everything's okay.
Anyway, everything seems to be okay. So, and first class service.
Look, when you have any sort of disaster or you find mold, whatever it is in your home or business, you get that free inspection
you
from
Florida.
You told
me to call immediately.
Call 24/7. You get the free inspection with top technology and an expert coming to your home. And if you need their services after that, they know what they're doing. And they'll work with your insurance company and they'll handle everything for you. They'll do all the restoration. They'll do repairs, replacement, whatever it is.
Then he gave me a reference to a roof guy that they've used extensively and that they trust. And I trust their recommendation. So I'll be calling the roof guy.
Excellent. Florida's Elite Restoration. Put them in your disaster plan. And when you do call, mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan. And after that free inspection, if you need their services, you will get $500 back. Maybe it's cash for your deductible, or maybe it's just cash back if you're paying for a restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. We love Josh Martin and the family over there. They're also family owned, servicing the whole Bay Area and across the state. I'm going to go this direction first, Ira, because it was so galling. And instead of talking about some of these other issues, I'm just going to talk about Tuesday night's practice. So inside the Glazer shed, air conditioning, probably a good 83 degree feel in there, sweaty. Baker Mayfield was 5-for-16 during 11-on-11 with one interception. 5-for-16 with one interception. And Kyle Trask was 11-for-17 on his night.
Are you trying to stir something?
What'd you think?
Are you trying to stir something up?
No, I'm just saying it was a bad night for Mayfield.
Well, every time I looked at Kyle Trask, he was throwing something into row three where the fans were. Look, I think tonight was a night for the defense from what I saw. I think it was a strong night for the defense. What jumped out immediately, the old man and the kids. The old man is number 13. The guy's having an incredible camp, Lee. He's sensational. This is a guy who could be coasting. Bull said you could have the day off, Mike. No. Instead, he's out there making plays against these hooligans and showing them how to play. At the same token, Lee, I was impressed with Morrison. I saw Tyke Smith break up a couple of passes. This Morrison kid, Lee, I don't want to go out on a limb with Jamal Dean again, but This kid's going to demand some playing time.
Steve, you're pissing off Dulpatrick. The nerve that you would bring up stats in a practice. Oh, I was going to choke this SOB, this Dulpatrick. Pompous ass.
Who's Dulpatrick?
Dulpatrick, he's got this sycophant radio show nationwide. He used to work for BSBN. He sucks.
Dan Patrick, yes.
That guy is so boring. I don't care if he's got every freaking celebrity in the world on his show. I hate him. He sucks. He's boring. Rob Dibble was more important.
But he gets good guests, Lee. He gets good guests.
I don't care if he gets the Queen of England on his show. He sucks. This guy, Dulpatrick, he gets on his show, and he starts scolding football writers. The nerve you have to take stats in practice. How dare you say a guy got carted off the field? What the hell? Did he leave the field on a flying carpet? He got carted off the field. That's the truth. And Dan Patrick doesn't want him on there because somehow his womanly feelings are hurt. And then he goes, don't you dare take stats. It doesn't mean anything. Last I checked, the AP takes stats in spring training games. Did this fluffhead say anything about that? No. But he goes off on NFL writers for allegedly making up. Well, he's full of it. And I hope he hears his audio.
Lee's in mid-season form here, Steven.
That drives me nuts. How dare you write the truth? How dare you write what you see?
Right.
I guess a guy left the field carried off on a backhoe. You write cards.
Now, what about Isbeth saying that Mayfield struggled tonight?
He did. So?
So what?
Yeah, it's not week one yet. You know, thank goodness the defense is starting to look halfway decent.
I thought tonight was a night for the defense, Steve, from what I saw.
I'm just pissed off that Steve set me up about Dulpatrick. How dare you take stats in practice?
Very nice. You didn't know what you were creating tonight.
Well,
Steve.
I was tracking the passes, and there was no 7-on-7 tonight. This is all 11-on-11 work. A lot of time for the backups tonight. A lot of third-team work tonight. And that's what Mayfield did. So, not very good, but he was sharp early to Evans. He seemed... You know, Evans is, I've figured out Mike Evans, I think. When the season starts in August and he comes in and he's 100% healthy, he's a Hall of Famer. When he gets banged up, he's great, but he, you know, he's not the same guy.
And it's more of a problem as he gets older.
Yeah, as the seasons go on. So right now, the fans who aren't able to watch practice, they're missing Mike Evans 100%, which the Bucs don't have anybody who can cover him.
He's like a man among boys, Lee. He really is.
Well, I thought it was interesting that I think it was two of the first three passes that Mayfield threw, Evans schooled Morrison. And then like the third or fourth play, Morrison got a pick. So it's like, I'm tired of this crap. I'm getting a pick. But it's almost like, and I got nothing. Look, I hope Morrison is the next Darrell Revis for the Bucs. Honest to God. I got nothing against him. I kind of like Notre Dame. That's not my team, but I kind of like him. He seems like a great guy, but... It also seems like Evans is schooling him. And you know what? If you're going to get schooled by a Hall of Famer.
You can't help but get better if you're trying to cover Mike Evans.
True.
You're not going to see people that are better than him on a weekly basis.
And did you see that? I don't know if you had a good angle. I had a great angle on it. Did you see that one-hand, left-handed interception by Bryce Hall in the corner of the end zone?
You're starting to be a Bryce Hall guy,
That
Steve.
Was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen anywhere. Unreal. Did you see it or you didn't see it?
I didn't see it, but what you're telling me is he's healthy. He's healthy.
It was just a great
recovery.
Play. I hope that Buck's social media was able to capture it because back corner of the end zone and
I love the competition in the secondary league.
It helps, doesn't it? I don't know if I've seen that before. Anyway, not the most eventful practice.
He could be their fourth or fifth corner. I mean, that's depth. I told you before, Lee, and I was proven right, and you didn't disagree with me. Bowles has a soft place in his heart for Chris Isian. He likes this guy.
He's always liked him. He's a baller.
He's always liked him.
I know. You know, he may not be a starter in the NFL, but he's not scared of anything. He'll fight you. He'll battle you. There's a couple practices ago. He wound up matched up against Payne Durham. And
that's quite a height disadvantage.
Yeah, he's given up like 55, 60 pounds and 7 inches. And he beat him. He got the pass away from him. And that's a dog. That's a battler. Fighter.
So it was a spectacular pick, but it also was to Egbuka. So Hall, you know, it's interesting. A lot more talent on defense, it feels like, this year, but they haven't dropped like flies yet. So that's always
a bonus.
Exactly. So, Lee, David Walker, outside linebacker, early in training camp.
Old school, fourth round
goes down, walks off on his own power with a couple of trainers, and poof, he's done for the year with an ACL.
Depressing because it's edge rusher. And goodness knows this team needs every edge rusher it can find. I don't expect much from rookies. I don't expect much from rookie small school guys. But still, this is a pinch. I don't know if it hurts, but it's a pinch. I guess the positive here, if you want to call it a positive, the weekday Warriors get a reprieve. And that would be Jose Ramirez and Marquise Watts, the two guys the Bucks swear on a stack of Bibles, give Tristan Wirfs fits in closed practices, but yet somehow they can't buy a way onto a field. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but if some dude was Tristan Wirfs fits, that SOB would be starting. He wouldn't be a backup, and he wouldn't be unable to get on the field.
Steve, to me, this hurts. The Walker injury hurts. It's not enough for me to say, well, they can't go in 11-6. Now they don't have Walker, and they might not have Wirfs for two or four games. I'm not getting off the 11 until I see Mayfield hobbled off the field. I'm not changing that. However, I'm not 100% certain that Hassan Reddick is going to get the job done. I'm not 100% certain about that. And Walker gives you a little bit of an option. Or if Diaby goes down for a
yes.
month. It's a little chink in the armor. At least as a pinch. Steve, it's not a game changer. But I wanted to see this kid, and I wanted to see what he could do. And now it's a red shirt year.
The sad thing is, isn't he 25 already?
Yes.
So you figure he's not going to hit the ground running until he's 27. He may not have much of a career.
Well, here's the thing, Ira. I'm glad you mentioned you're not moving off your win total. So Tristan Wirfs may be out four games. You're not moving off your win total. David Walker, the Super Bowl piece, not moving off your win total. Chris Godwin's not ready, not moving. And I'm right there with you, but I got to say that obviously this horribly sucks for David Walker, and it's a shame the organization liked him. I'm sure he was a promising guy, but I don't think this means a damn thing. I wasn't expecting much from him either. And
it means four sacks.
He would have needed, a heroic kind of rookie season to
really.
Well,
it could mean something if somebody else goes down. That's what I'm
saying. I understand that, but I don't think there's a loss here because nobody knows what this guy was going to be. I think he was pretty well overhyped. And
I don't think he was going to play a lot if Diaby and Reddick were healthy.
Absolutely.
Jason Light told us on this podcast that Chris Braswell is going to shock people. He told us that. That was before he drafted Walker. So let's see it. This is Braswell's opportunity.
I remain a skeptic, Lee, on
Braswell. This is his opportunity.
I remain a skeptic as well. To be fair, Braswell has been flashing a few times. I'm not saying he's dominating, but at least you know he's on the field, at least through the first six practices.
How much is he going to play, Lee?
Well, that's just it. If Diaby's going to be a stud and Reddick has his Reddick-type year, I don't expect Braswell to be on the field much. So Walker's below him. That's why I said four sacks. That's going to cost the Bucks four sacks. Over a span of 17, hopefully 21 or 22 games, going to cost him four sacks.
This is what gets lost in the shuffle, Ira. We're sitting here saying, I'm not saying it, but you guys are sitting here saying, well, Braswell, when's he going to play this and that? Look, last year he played 329 snaps. Pretty darn invisible. And
they didn't have Reddick.
Now we've got, we had no Reddick, but Tryon Shoyinka's gone. And you know what? Braswell's probably going to play another 20, 30 snaps a game like he was doing last year. So they need production from the guy. It's just that simple. All right, Iris. So do you think that the Bucks make any sort of counter move regarding David Walker? That's really where we have to look right now. Are they going to sniff the wires? Are they going to say to themselves, hey, we expected a few hundred good snaps out of this guy. We got to make it up. Or are they just going to absorb it?
Lee, why panic in the streets when you got Braswell who's going to shake up the world? Now, I'm half kidding. I don't think the Walker injury is going to trigger something in Jason Light's mind. But I will say this, Lee. I'm not sure they're not going to pick up another offensive tackle if they're not happy with the potential replacements for Wirfs. I'm not sure they're done there. But I don't think they're going to make a move for another pass rusher.
Here's a question about player movement, Ira. From what you've seen, Todd Bowles said they're looking at quarterbacks. From what you've seen, should they bring someone in? Now, I know for me, people are going to kill me for this. Because, you went to college up the road, so you're not allowed to speak ill of the man. I just can't.
Well, Lee, whoever they're going to get, they're not going to jump ahead of Trask on the depth chart. You're saying you meant to replace Trask?
I'm not saying replace Trask.
I don't think
Trask,
that's going to happen.
He's having an awful camp. He's just looking bad to
me. I think they're resigned to Kyle Trask as the backup, Steve.
Well, what I'm getting at is he's not getting any time to throw, so that doesn't help him. But when he does throw, It's like, goodness gracious, I don't know what's going on.
Wait a minute. According to Mr. Isbitz, he had a stellar evening at the Glazer show.
No, I didn't say that. I just said he was 11 for 17.
All right. They know what they got, and apparently, at least.
Do they?
Apparently, they're happy with it.
I can't see who said this. You know who it is, I can't see. But I remember one time recently, we broached the question about, you know, Pat Kerwin brought this up, for example, that, you know, go out and get a guy that's got some snaps under his belt. You know, Trask has nothing. If you really think you can make the Super Bowl, hell, go get Blaine Gabbert in here. At least Gabbert has started some games.
Yeah.
And
not a lot of teams have good backups, Lee.
See if you remember what I heard. Basically, the reply was, well, most of these has-beens that are available are garbage to begin with.
There's a little truth to that.
So why don't you keep your own and build your own, i.e. Trask.
Steve, you're putting much stock in this line that Trask knows the offense and he's comfortable with what we're doing. I mean, should that rule the day for being a backup?
I'm fine with Trask unless you really have somebody better, but nothing is stopping them really from bringing in legitimate competition for him to be the backup.
That's true.
So, right, you got the number three guy, Michael Pratt, who was injured and hasn't played all summer. The number four guy, Basilek, he's awful.
He's not
supposed to be awful. And so that's it. So they made a decision. We're not going to find that veteran on the street to bring in and challenge Trask.
To be fair, there's not a lot of guys out there.
There's not.
I think they do legitimately believe in him. I mean, he was a free agent. They paid him. They paid him more than the league minimum. So, and why wouldn't they bring him back? He knows the offense, and he should be a guy competing as a backup.
On a related note, I'm beginning to think the depth of the offensive line is trash.
It's not great.
No.
It's not great.
I mean, Trask has no time to throw. He's running for his life half the time.
We don't know much about this Klein guy. We don't know much about Klein.
Well, he beefed up.
He was a sixth-round pick.
He beefed up. Jason Light said that he took advantage of everything that UTEP didn't have to offer.
Did he get any snaps at all? Last year.
No, he got no snaps on the offense to speak of, but he's bigger and stronger, and we'll see what he does as a second-year guy. But, Ira, let me take you to a major shift here. So everybody loves to say the Bucks are underrated. I honestly think it's over. I really do think it's over.
I know where you're going.
Because we all know that when their predictions come out, 9 out of 10 predictions on the NFL season are going to be Bucks repeat as division champs, 9 or 10 wins. That's what most of them are going to say. So that's respect. But
and not go very deep in the playoffs.
You've already have people saying on CBS anyway, the CBS family, that the Bucks 12, 13 wins kind of thing. So you've got that happening already. And out there,
I don't think Light can play that card anymore.
So ESPN had their little look at the Bucks the other day.
Who did it?
They're sitting there on Get Up or whatever that show's called. Stay in Bed, as Lee calls it. So
is that Tannenbaum?
So they've got Graziano, Tannenbaum, Ryan Clark.
Darlington?
Darlington.
All right.
All together. And Mike Greenberg. And they're all basically saying, this is ridiculous. Don't call the Bucks a sneaky Super Bowl team. They got everything they need. Mike Greenberg starts screaming passionately, you know, saying what we've been saying, which is that I'll tell you why they're not respected. They're not is because the world has still not caught on to Baker Mayfield being this good. And then Darlington is pretty mild-mannered. He then screams, yes! And then they keep going back and forth, and everybody's all in on the Bucks. All in, the whole panel. Usually they have somebody who's contrarian. No, they're all in.
Darlington's around Tampa a lot during the season.
Well, he's from Seminole.
You know, he's got good contacts in the organization.
Oh, yeah.
I think to Steve's point, I think he's right. Don't play the woe was me card from Jason Light. I think those days are over. Prisco, you win prickly pick.
You missed him. He was here yesterday.
Yeah, he was here. Kerwin loves bowls, loves Light. Gruden loves bowls, loves Light. From what I can see, Lee, most people have them as the fourth or fifth best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
In the NFC. They got Washington ahead of them. It's tough to argue against that. Washington won more games than they did and beat them in Tampa
playoffs.
In the playoff game. I can't argue with that. Detroit. Philly, certainly. You know, Green Bay. I think Green Bay might be a wild card.
I'm starting to think this might be the kiss of death with Mike Greenberg. Remember, Mike Greenberg hollered to anybody who would listen to him in the middle of the 2020 season that Bruce Arians needed to be fired and needed to be fired now because he was butchering Tom Brady.
Who said that?
Mike
Greenberg. Greeny?
The ESPN Mike Greenberg, not the salary cap guru with the Bucks. So the fact that he's on Baker Mayfield's bandwagon scares the hell out of me.
You know, to that point, Steve, it's an interesting point. Could the Bucks lose their edge by not sort of being the underdog anymore? Could that work against them? Could they believe in their press clippage?
We've seen
it before, Lee.
If they go 2-0, win in Atlanta, go and beat Houston, I could see them, you know, smelling the roses a little too much and losing their edge a little bit.
Quick one, Ira.
But if they start off 1-1.
Well, they've been 3-1 the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that'll keep them grounded.
Prickly Pete wrote this on Twitter, Ira, yesterday, after he spent the day with the Bucks. He said he gets the vibe from the Bucks that they're confident.
They know
they're a good team.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he said that usually means a good thing. Your thoughts?
Well, I've been reading what Prisco's been writing about the Bucks. I don't know who's writing it, Prisco or Jason Light. I mean, it's high praise. And you know, Prickly, we call him Prickly Pete for a reason. You know, now he's got a little warm spot for Jacksonville. He used to cover the Jags.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think, with Tom Coughlin. He goes way back. Mm-hmm.
He lives there, and
had Mark Brunell.
He has a high-paid weekly radio spot on their sports radio station, so I'm sure he's very pro-Jacksonville.
Well, I thought Prickly Pete lived in Broward County, because you know that's where CBS is headquartered.
I don't know.
I think he's still in Duval County,
I think. Okay.
But, Steve, interesting point. This underdog card, I think that's faded around the Bucks. Now, nobody's picking them to go to the Super Bowl that I've seen. But I got them as 11 wins right now, Lee, and it's going to take more than Wirfs missing two, three, four games for me to change it.
And speaking of Wirfs, I think through two padded practices, I've followed a lot of I've even gone online to watch the fan videos because the fans can shoot video and the media can't at these practices, which is perhaps the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But Charlie Heck, so far, so good. You know, well, for whatever that's worth.
He's not looking horrible, you know, let's put it that way.
So far, so good.
I think he's going to be an adequate run blocker. I got to think that. He's going to be adequate. Powerful. We'll see what happens coming off the guys coming off the right edge. We'll see.
So one of the interesting stats to come out of that whole ESPN love session for the Bucks was 51 of Mayfield's 69 touchdowns in the last 2 years, throwing touchdowns, 51 were in three wide receiver sets. So it was Mike Tannenbaum's contention, the former Jets and Dolphins GM, who turns out we learned in the offseason when he did a sit down with Jason Light and the Seahawks general manager that he's been like a confidant of Light. And Light used to call him for advice and stuff, so which is interesting. But
John Schneider's the other guy.
John Schneider, yeah.
I think they're going to be in three wide sets all the time.
So
it puts
a little more perspective on the Egbuka pick. Now, with 2 years, this is how we excel. Let's make sure we have the best three we can find.
I'm with you, Steve. Even if Godwin takes 5 weeks into the season, I'm going three wide. I'm putting McMillan on the field. I'm putting the Ohio State rookie on the field. And I'm putting in the future Hall of Famer. Why not? I'm not going with two running backs. I'm going with one running back.
Oh, hell yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I may need to take a cold shower. But this Ibuka, I finally saw him make a mistake yesterday. Finally. I've seen him every practice.
What did he do?
He didn't secure the ball quick enough, and the guy picked it up. Just took it right from him. Took it right out of his hands. That is his only mistake that I've seen. I don't know how many practices I've seen him dating back to rookie minicamp. That is the first mistake I've seen him make.
He's kind of looking like a short thing. He looks smooth.
Which, so Mike Evans, Ira. Now, Mike Evans said this in June. In June, he was asked about Egbuka, and he said, quote, really strong hands, super smart. He looks like a running back, but he catches like Chris Godwin. He's a very polished, very well-rounded player. That's what Mike Evans said in June. Today, he was asked, what are your impressions after seeing him in training camp? So you tell me the difference here. He says, quote, Egbuka, I've seen what I've expected to see. Already a true professional. He's going to be an unbelievable playmaker and have a great career.
Wow.
In this league.
Wow.
That's a very high praise from Mike Evans, who's seen a bunch, endless stream of rookie receivers.
The one trait that comes through everybody that's trying to describe this kid is his hands. Strong hands. Now, Lee just told the story where he didn't secure the ball.
Quick.
But that's going to be the odd man of play that you don't see very often from him. That's going to be the outlier.
I don't know if impressed is the right word, but stuck out for me. He spoke earlier this week, Egbuka did, and he said Chris Godwin has been a godsend. It sounds like Godwin is like his personal coach. Like he's always consulting with Godwin. Godwin's always coaching him up on the sidelines. And just to throw this in there, Steve's noticed this more so than I have. But the contrast, you have two stars on offense that are not practicing because they're hurt. Tristan Wirfs and Chris Godwin. Wirfs is out there like, the guy's big as a small shed. I mean, he's a huge man to begin with. And just in case you don't see him, just in case you don't recognize him, he's got crutches. And just in case you still don't recognize him, he wears his practice jersey. Like, oh, by the way, that's Tristan Wirfs. I didn't know. And then Godwin, he blends in. He's wearing Bucks gear you can pull off the rack, and he blends right in. You don't even know he's a freaking player.
You know, I asked whether this could be the best offense in the National Football League.
Oh.
I asked somebody that the other day. I think it was Barton. Barton. He didn't say that that was unreasonable. He didn't say that was far-fetched. Steve, could this be the number one offense in the league if guys stay healthy?
And that's a high bar, right?
It's a high
Detroit
bar.
Detroit averaged 33 points last year. Bucks were 29.5.
Detroit lost some people.
And a coordinator.
Let me put it to you this way.
That's right.
The Bucks brought back their entire offense in 2021. Entire offense.
And had a hell of an offense.
And they had a hell of an offense, but they scored 0.7 of a point less per game. So it's not automatic just because you bring everybody back. And you can't count Antonio Brown in there because he didn't melt down till week 17. And at week 18, they scored 41 points. So it's not about Antonio Brown. Yeah, I think the Bucks.
They didn't have a back as good as Bucky Irving.
No.
Fournette was good.
No, I think they can score 30 a game. Are they going to get better? It's unrealistic to expect him to get better.
Is Antonio Brown still hiding in the Arab Emirates?
Oh, my God. All right, now speaking of crazies. You want to talk about Jameis Winston for a minute.
Let me remind everybody, Florida's Elite Restoration, put them in your disaster plan. Don't mess around. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And the summer event at Bill Curry Ford is mind-blowing. Don't worry, drive Curry. General Manager Sean Sullivan will help you personally. He's our draft guru. He's our friend. He loves Bucks fans. And just email him at BillCurryFord.com. If you have questions, he's going to treat you like a cousin. A cousin who actually likes you. So
Sean's supposed to be at practice on August 1st.
Hey, maybe we could.
There you go.
Maybe we could have a special deal going for fans.
Steve,
who talk
I'm surprised
to
you didn't say anything about in my John Gruden story when he talks about Jason Light and he says not everybody bats 100% in the draft and people can't satisfy assholes like you, Ira, and we used asterisks. But this is our podcast.
I didn't know
it was
what,
assholes.
I didn't know what it was. I was just going to use the asterisk for the S.
Oh, it was an asshole.
I didn't know the whole word, so I left it there.
How do you like that, Lee? And I put it in the story. Why not?
Yeah, Ira. So, look, just to wrap up a little bit on training camp, just to put a bow on it, it's kind of been a camp cupcake. Two practices and pads. Today, they gave the bottom end of the roster a lot of time. And those guys were tackling to the ground late, too, which
by
was
by the way, Bowles told Mike Evans that he could have the night off. Evans said, I'm not taking the night off.
Well,
he gave him the option.
I'll add to that. At the press conference you were asking me about, how do you like practice tonight? It's going to be indoors, air conditioning. And Evans said, I don't like AstroTurf. He would rather roast out in 95-degree weather so long as he practices on the grass.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you getting
Levante David, I don't think he practiced tonight.
No,
and he hates practicing on the turf. And
so Bowles gave Evans the same option. And Evans turned him down and said, I'm coming out to the Glazer shed. I'm sure he didn't use Glazer shed. Are you getting any impression at all, Steve, that Evans may not be back next season?
I'm not, but until he has a contract,
you get any vibes in that direction, Lee?
Zero vibes.
Okay.
Zero vibes. And I know you spoke with people who would know, and they're not even sure about what Evans' future is. I mean, if he breaks Rice's record and the Bucks make it to the Super Bowl, you think he just might say, hey, that's it.
He just might. Yeah. He just might.
Yeah, I think so. But he seems, you know, and he's like this with basketball and other sports. He's a historian. He has great love for the game. He seems like the kind of guy who, I want to try to be an all-time great.
As long as I'm healthy.
And all-time greats, they usually don't retire at 32. They retire at 35, 36, 37.
They played 16 years.
So Jerry Rice till 40. Randy Moss played a long time as well. So, you know, T.O. played how many years? 16 or something like that? So, you know, I don't know. But hopefully it's what Lee said, which is a Super Bowl trip and a record. And, you know, and that'll knock out Levante David. And
You're gonna pay for my flight to the Super Bowl city if the Bucks are in it?
Where is the Super Bowl this year?
San Francisco.
Year? San Francisco?
Or am I going to have to hitchhike?
Train.
Out there?
You can take the train. Ira.
There you go.
You take the train. All right, Ira, look, the lost decade of Buccaneers football never seems to go away completely. Because
it wasn't 10 years, it was 12, by the way.
The strange characters of that, basically 2009 to through...
No, 2008. You can start with 08.
That's not a loss.
You know, Chucky was the end of the good era.
Yeah. And 10 years is 09 through 2018. Right.
And the Bucks did have a winning record in
2008. I guess I was talking about not making the playoffs.
So that's the true lost decade, 2009 to 2018. But the seeds were planted in 08, and we still saw a lot of residue in 2019. So Jameis Winston, Ira, he sat down for the Pivot podcast, which is Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor and Channing Crowder.
It's a good podcast.
Good podcast. Good podcast. Who knows when it was recorded, but it published on Tuesday. And I saw this thing pop, and I'm like, oh, boy, what's he going to say? I was ready to go. And eventually they got to the 2019 Bucks in the 30 interception season.
I can't believe it's been 6 years, Lee. I can't believe it.
So as everybody knows, he threw 33 touchdowns, over 5,000 yards, 30 picks. And they asked him about it. Do you feel like you got they sort of said, did you feel like you got disrespected because you had a big year, you know? And Jameis is like, no, I threw the season away. He's talked about agonizing over the season.
Certain games.
Going back, looking at the film, and still he said he still thinks about it and how much money it cost him. And he said his picks cost him games. They lost games. But then it got a little wacky, Ira. It really got a little wacky.
Not only did they lose games, Lee, he lost the trust of Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
And that's what doomed him. That's what doomed him.
And he talked about how much he loved the coaching staff and that Clyde Christensen was just his kind of guy and religious and a football man. And he thought it was a perfect setup with him, with Arians and Leftwich, who he mentioned. And okay, but then it got a little wacky because Jameis talked about the reason his season was on a roller coaster ride is because his personal life was on a roller coaster ride and it mimicked his football.
Sounds like Brady in 2022.
Yeah.
His personal life was a mess.
And I don't think Tom Brady went celibate.
And Jameis explained, you know, he's learned that you got to get your personal life in order. But so this is where it got weird, Ira. So Jameis said his father, Antonor Winston.
Am I going to want to hear this? Winston, or is this a Twilight Zone episode?
So Winston's dad, Vert, was very involved, used to talk to media, used to do radio interviews, colorful figure, fun guy. He and Jameis were very close growing up and all that. And Jameis reveals on the podcast that his father stopped talking to him that season. And his father told him, son, I'm not going to talk to you anymore this year. I'm not supporting you this season. And I'm not going to tell you why.
Was it about his play on the field?
No, he just said, I don't feel good about anything.
I'm not supporting you.
And I'm checking out on this season. And that's it. And Jameis said he didn't know why. He didn't find out till after the season. And he used to chat deep chats, he said, with his father every Friday. He didn't find out till after the season that his father's brother was dying, and his father was tied up with that. So apparently his dad didn't want to distract him with medical stuff, right. But Jameis said it got in his head. He felt extreme loneliness. Okay, but Jameis also said that at that time, he had decided to go celibate. Even I shouldn't be laughing, but it was just hearing Jameis say this was just so striking.
That word's never been on this the Ira Kaufman podcast, and it never will again.
So Jameis said he was trying to honor God by going celibate and stop shacking up with his fiance. Even though he had a 6-month old son, he decided to move out of his house and stay away from his wife, his future wife. And he said he was going to disconnect from society. So he decided to go celibate.
Let me stop you right out. There. I tried going celibate when I was 20 years old. I lasted 11 days. 11 days. So I don't want to hear from Mud.
I got a quick question.
I don't want to hear from Jameis.
He had a 6-month-old son. Wasn't that about 15 months too late?
The whole thing was just bizarre because he painted the picture, Ira, that he couldn't control himself and couldn't see his fiance anymore.
I don't understand the whole thing, Lee. I don't know what's going on.
Well, remember they used to tell boxers you couldn't have sex?
Oh, my God.
Back in the 50s?
So he said, quote, I separated myself from her, from society, really. So it's just very strange. Obviously, Jameis was a beloved player in his fifth year with a lot of friends on the team. The Bucks management had his support.
This is stuff you say on a psychiatrist's couch.
Well, like Dr. Ruth?
You don't put it on a podcast.
But, so what do you think happened? Do you think that this just torpedoed the Bucks' season ultimately with Jameis just being a mental case that year?
I don't know anything about going celibate, but I do know that Deion Jones stepped in front of a Winston pass, and he's still going into the end zone on the first snap of overtime. And that marked the end of Jameis Winston. He's a bizarre guy, Lee. He's just bizarre. He always has been. He's not a bad guy, but he's bizarre.
I feel like if he just spoke up to Jason Light and maybe said, hey, could you call my dad and get me some help in dealing with this, that the Bucks would have done that, or to Bruce Arians, but I don't know. I wonder if the Bucks even knew.
Well, real quick, to that point, Jameis had to know he was on thin ice. So maybe he was scared to say anything. Like, hey, if I ask for help, they're like, well, hell with this guy. We'll just get rid of him.
He's good copy, Steve. He's good copy. He's good fodder for people like us. I'll say that. And you saw him during the Super Bowl, Lee. He was Mr. New Orleans, right? So when his career's over, and I think it's almost close to being
he's
over.
He's going to make money.
He's going to do well.
You know, I almost feel like, because the Bucs were 7-7 that year.
Yes.
I feel like if Jameis had gotten together with his whole family for the holidays, and everybody came together, and you had two games left, he might have won both of those games. We never would have had Tom Brady.
Well, also remember, I think the third last game of the year, Detroit, he lit them up. He had one of his best games.
Going into those last two games, he was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, in reflection, I don't know how much the celibacy or the other weird stuff.
I think it was Steve Houston before the Atlanta game, right? Houston. And they were both bad teams. Houston and Atlanta were bad. And they both came into Tampa and beat them.
Nationally televised Houston. Yeah, in Tampa.
And that was it.
Now, weren't the Bucs down like 21-0 in the first half and they came back?
Which game?
Against Houston?
I don't remember.
Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, he threw one. Remember he was on that streak of throwing interceptions on the first pass? And he did one of those. And but he caught. They came back. You're right, Lee. But they didn't win. So, Ira, look, no update yet on Chris Godwin. I'm going to have to ask later in the week. So we need to know.
The silence is pretty loud. The silence is pretty loud.
It's not comforting.
I'm not sure we're going to see him at all in training camp.
No.
He's just walking around in street clothes.
He almost looks, you know, Steve's been on this much more than I am. He almost looks depressed. I dare say ashamed.
We have to remember it was a horrible injury, Lee.
It was a horrible injury. You know, fans, there's the anti-Bulls crowd. We know that. And Bulls sneezes the wrong way. They scream at him. They scream at Bulls for having Godwin in the game. I can't kill him for
classic
that.
Classic second guess, Lee. Classic second guess.
Well, it wasn't
you're looking to nail Bulls. You look for anything.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we'll be back later in the week, right?
Yeah, Steve? We'll be back later in the week. All right, do you have a final message for Bucs fans here as you ponder life and day 6 of training camp in the books?
Yeah, I got something. My wife needs new hearing aids, so we went to a hearing place the other day. They tested her. They said, you've got pretty severe hearing loss, which we knew. She's had her hearing aids for about 5 years. And so she gave us the spiel about the new products and the technology. And then I asked for the price. I'm not going to repeat it here.
$18,000.
But, Steve, I need a little bump. I need a little bump. A little bump,
real
Steve.
Quick about Ira at night practice. He was the celebrity. People are coming up to him, glad to hand him. One guy came up to him. One guy comes up to Ira. He's like, are you Ira Kaufman? I was like, yeah. And he's like, I'm sorry I didn't bring any coconut donuts. I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah. I didn't get that kind of greeting from the woman from Indonesia. She didn't say anything about me.
I got to mention that real quick. There are some international Bucs fans that listen to your podcast, Ira. A woman sat next to me, and she said, well, I just moved to the area. And she was clearly a Bucs fan. She knew the players and stuff.
No accent, right? Nothing. You thought she was from Riverview.
No, I asked her, you know, where are you from? Because she said she just moved to the area. I thought she said Connecticut. So I've never been in Connecticut. No. And then she said where she was from. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Indonesia. They just moved to the Tampa Bay area. She's from Indonesia. She's a Bucs fan.
Did she know about Joe Bucs fan?
She does now.
She does now.